You know, I'm sure we've all, or most of us, have been listening to reports and things about the upcoming election. I'm glad that God has His way in those things. And that's why it's important for us to pray. And no, I'm not going to talk about politics today at all. But there's something that I'm hearing some of them say is that I heard one person say that when election day comes, get out and vote. Even if you're sick, they said get out and vote. It's a pretty serious time, isn't it? And I believe if the world can see how critical of a time that it is, what can we see this morning? Yes. I think it's a critical time, and the Bible says so much more, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together so much more as you see the day approaching. I think that's critical too. Yes. My soul, the importance of my soul is more important to me than even this country, because my soul will be in eternity someday. How I deal with it and handle it is totally up to me. I would, one of my desires is that people would get a real true vision of what the church is. What it really means to be a child of God. What it really means to be blessed with this great salvation that Jesus purchased for us. And to understand that the church is not the world. And it's not the things of the world. The church is the things of God, the things of the Spirit, of man. You and I have a natural body, and we also have spirit. God in His wisdom made us that way. And I'm glad that He did. When this old body goes down to the grave, that's not the end, is it? But there's a spirit that will live forever in eternity. I'd like to read two scriptures, laying a little foundation. First one's found in Psalms, the 57th chapter, in the 7th verse. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. The other verse is found in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. In the last verse, verse 58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, speaking to the church, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have two scriptures here, one saying, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. The other one says, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is of utmost importance. You and I are to lift up Christ. We are to lift up the cross of Christ. You and I are called to be examples and be faithful to whatever post that the Lord would call us to. I want us to consider a little bit of a definition. Fixed. My heart is fixed. In the dictionary, it means it's established. It's settled. And it's not movable. Steadfast means not fickle or wavering, but constant in spirit, constant in the direction that I am taking in my life. Unmovable means unchanged in purpose. So the question this morning is, what is our purpose? I want us to consider the thought, my heart is fixed. That we have it forever settled in our minds and in our hearts this morning. That no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, no matter what the trials or the adversity of life, that we are not easily shaken and moved away from this wonderful gospel that you and I have embraced this morning with all of our heart and life. Trials have a way of proving us out. Trials have a way of working on us and cause us to make decisions for our lives. I still believe that in the face of adversity, that wise men will still seek God. When adversity and hard times come, folks, it isn't a time to look within self, but it's a time to look in God. And it's a time to seek Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I know the scripture says to love Him that way. But we need to seek Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, that we would seek God. Not easily yielding under pressure. Lord, help us this morning. Pressure is something that we all know something about. We all face different types of pressure in life, circumstances that come our way, some decisions and choices and hard places that we come into. Folks, not yielding easily under pressure. My heart is fixed. I'm determined that no matter what comes my way, Lord, whatever you allow to happen, that my heart is fixed and I'm going to follow you. I'm established this morning. I'm settled. I'm not willing to be moved, no matter what it is that may come our way. Yes. Steadfast, said, not fickle or wavering. You know, when I look at people, and you've all seen this, but back in Jesus' day, when was it on Sunday, on the Sabbath day, on the Sunday that when he came riding triumphantly into Jerusalem, how that people praised him and sang Hosanna in the highest, laid palm branches and clothes, and they was giving glory to Jesus there as the Son of God, and how that they were worshiping him and all the pomp and all the glory. But in 4 days, 4 days later, on Friday, they were crying out, crucify him. You see how easily that people can be swayed? You see how easily that the enemy can use the littlest thing, the littlest trial, the littlest suggestion that he can come along and drop a thought in your mind, and how he can get you to look things skewed or in a different way than you once looked at those things. I want us to be sure this morning that we have it fixed. That we have it settled, that what we have on hand is unmovable, unchanged in purpose. Folks, if there ever was a time that we need to be settled, Paul prayed for that. He wrote letters to the different congregations that he had established, and he said that you be rooted and grounded and settled and established in the truth. Folks, even back in those days, they had goddess Diana in Ephesus. They had all kinds of pagan worship over in Corinth when he was over there in that big city. They did all those kinds of things back then. Folks, they have it. We have it today. We're worshiping idols today. The world is worshiping men. They're worshiping athletes. They're worshiping superstars. They're worshiping singers. They're setting people up as gods. Someone that they're worshiping. They go around with their songs in their minds and going through the day with those kind of things going through their head. Folks, I want us to get established and rooted and grounded in the Lord. I want our idol, if we're going to have an idol, to be Jesus Christ. I want us to worship Him. I want us to get into His Word and study to show ourselves approved and get established to the place where my heart is fixed. And you know, we can only go as far as what we have on hand. I don't know how I'm going to handle the circumstances of tomorrow. I understand that. I don't know what I'm going to face next week. You don't know either. But folks, we need to get it fixed and we need to get it settled. And we need to purpose in our hearts that we are not moving. What I believe today is truth. What I believe is important. And it's valuable to my soul. And I want to hold on to this thing no matter what may come our way. Folks, sometimes people can be moved because their feelings have been stirred a little bit. And that's what the world does, is play on our emotions, play on our feelings. Watch your feelings, folks. I'm not going this way on feelings. I'm going this way on faith, in trusting God and believing Him and taking Him at His word. But we do have feelings. We do have emotions. We have those things that we have to contend with in life. Folks, we can allow the course of the time, for instance, as we come up on this election, to unsettle us, to disturb us, to cause us to be afraid. The devil loves to work in fear, folks. I want us this morning to be determined that we're rooted and grounded. Said it again, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that you know your labor will not be in vain. Do you know we can labor for years in our life in laboring for the Lord and working for the Lord and come down to the end and begin to accept something that is false, is beginning to look at things a different way, and we can lose our souls right down to the end. The enemy knows that. Well, Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, didn't he? Lord, help us to endure to the end. The same shall be saved. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That your labor not be in vain. Well, folks, there's been many that have lost their way. Many that have started out running for the Lord. Many that have given their hearts and lives and worked for the Lord for many years that have lost their way down toward the end, and they're in eternity today. You know, I was thinking about a term that they use in football, and it's called the quarterback option. When the ball is centered to the quarterback, the quarterback goes back. He's got a man on beside him that can run the football. He can give it to him and let him run the football. Or he's got receivers that go out. He's got a tight end that goes down the middle. And he can throw to any one of those fellas. And if no one's open, he's got another option. He can run the ball himself. Folks, when the enemy comes against us, I want us to consider this morning, hell is not an option. I want us to consider this morning, the choices that you and I make are our options. But there is no other option but Jesus Christ. There is no other option but the gospel of God, folks. And so be careful of your choices that you make. Those choices are elective. You can make them if you want to. You can move if you want to. You can go if you want to. You can hand the ball off, or you can throw the ball downfield when the pressure is great. When you feel the enemy on top of you, you got options, folks. You can make choices and decisions, but be careful of the choices that you make, because they have to do with your eternal soul. They have to do with your eternal souls. You see, elective, they're not compulsory. But they're your personal choices. The quarterback doesn't always make the right choice. He don't always throw it to the right person or hand it off to the right person. Maybe he takes the option of running the ball himself and lose 3 or 4 yards. Folks, we're in this thing. We're in a battle this morning. We're in a battle for our souls. But God has given us everything we need, folks, to fight this battle. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us this morning to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the power of God in our lives, that we can stand true and stand faithful as things get more wicked and more evil every day. People, the world's taking the options. They're taking everything but God this morning. I want us to take God. I want us to follow Him with a pure heart, with a pure intention. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews that He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows our motives this morning. He knows all about us. And I've told this congregation before, I don't know what I will do in any given circumstance, but I know what the grace of God can do. I want us to rely on the grace of God. I want our faith to be so strong and so great that whatever comes, we're not going to let it move us. I think about the Apostle Paul. When he was talking to him over in the 20th chapter of Acts, he said he goes bound in the Spirit, didn't he? To Jerusalem. Don't know the things that are going to happen to me over there. But he said, none of these things move me. I'm not changing my course. I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. My course is set. Folks, get your course set. Know who you're following. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And the Spirit told him, he said, I don't know the things that I'm going to face over there, but the Spirit, he's bound by the Spirit. Lord, help us this morning that we're bound by the Spirit of God, that we not be fickle people, that we not let our feelings and our emotions get in the way of our eternal souls. Because folks, I'm telling you this morning, the enemy is fighting hard for your soul. He's fighting hard for every one of us this morning. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep separated from the world. We got to separate us from the world, folks. This old world will draw us in. It'll draw into the very thing that's important to you. The thing that maybe the weakest to you, it'll draw us in if we're not careful. Is your heart fixed today? Your determination is great, and you know what your purpose is. Pray for me, my chest is giving me a little trouble. We're in a very dangerous time. A very critical time. It's critical. Every choice that we make. You know, we're free moral creatures, aren't we? God's given us that right to make choices. But be careful of the choices that you make, because it can cost you your soul. So my little message this morning is, be determined. Get it fixed and get it settled to the best that you can. We can only prepare for what is before us the best that we can, because there's so many unknowns out there in the world. So many unknowns, so many things that can happen. Well, I didn't expect that, or I wasn't ready for that. But the Lord knows all about it. There's no surprises with Him. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what we're going to deal with tomorrow. He knows all about those kind of things. May the Lord help us just be faithful. Have faith in God. Trust Him with all of your heart. And I want to suggest this morning, pray for faith. Pray for grace. Pray for more of Him. I believe this little congregation has a lot of that. But folks, we're going to be challenged, and we are challenged. And the world is trying to draw us away. Pray for more grace. Pray for more understanding. Pray for more power in your life. We're going to need that in the days ahead. We're going to need it. What was it that the Lord said to the disciples in the 6th chapter of John? Some of them said, well, it says they went away. And the Lord said to Peter, He said, will you also go away? And He said, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? for thou hast the words of eternal life. Folks, man doesn't have them. Man doesn't have the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Keep that focus this morning. Keep that priority. Let your heart be fixed. Let it be settled and unmovable. Because the devil's going to come along and use everything against you that he can to move you, to cause you to go away from the Lord. I'd like to read a scripture. It's found in Luke, the 2nd chapter. I've used this little thought before, and I want to use it again this morning. Lord, help us today. Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 25, I begin reading, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Folks, he is our salvation today. He is our hope today. It said he was prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. I want you to listen to what Simeon said to Mary. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." A sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. Do you know that, and I know you do, that there's a lot of people facing hard, hard, difficult issues in life. Facing things you and I are not facing. Disappointments, grief, and sorrow. Hard things. Loss of children. Loss of loved ones in general. And we're all going to experience that. There's a lot of evil that can come against people. People being murdered. People being killed. People being abused. Children being abused. Folks, those things ought not to be. But because of sin, they are, aren't they? But Simeon prophesied to Mary here. And he said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own heart also." Has your heart ever ached to the point where you feel like something just pierced it? Have you ever suffered grief and sorrow? I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to lose. Someone doesn't have to die for you to feel grief. But when people make bad decisions and bad choices and get involved in things that they ought not to give in, folks, there's spirits that are out there today, the devil worship and getting involved in all kinds of different things that are out there in the world today. The darkness, the dark side of things. Someone doesn't have to die for you to have grief. For you to feel a deep grief and a sorrow. But I think about Mary. She raised a son that knew more than she did. She raised a son, the Bible says, was subject unto his parents until the day that he went out on his own and became a man. He was subject to them. She raised a son You mothers out there, you know what it's like to have children. You know what it's like. You know the mother's love that we hear about, talked about. I'm not a mother, but I have a father's love. But I think about this woman that she raised the son and she had to give him to the world. She had to give him to you and I. Can you picture her there on Calvary that day when her son was hanging between heaven and earth and that sword that was piercing through her heart to watch him die on a cross, to watch them stick the spear in his side, to watch him put the crown of thorns on his head, to see the blood running down his cheeks. Folks, you think that sword didn't pierce her heart? Yes, it did. But through it all, God was able to trust her. She was faithful, wasn't she? We find her after that scene is over, when the disciples and the people gathered in the upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit, we find her right there with them, don't they? She didn't give up. Her heart was fixed. She knew her purpose, and the sword pierced her heart, and yet she was faithful, and God was able to trust her with those kind of things. I think it's important for us to purpose in our heart this morning, God, you can trust me. When I've been prayed for 3 or 4 times and the healing doesn't come, can he trust me? When my dreams and my hopes fall flat, when I don't get that thing that I wanted so bad, can he trust me to go on and be faithful and be what he's calling me to be? Can he trust me with those things? He trusted Mary, and her heart was pierced, wasn't it? He said, here a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And it was a prophecy that came to pass in just a few years, 33 and a half years, basically. It came to pass in her life. Folks, we face some hard things. I know that. Some of us face harder things than others. Some of us have had greater loss than others. And as life goes on, there'll be some of us that'll experience what you've experienced. But my heart is fixed this morning. Oh, forgive me for saying this again, but I remember laying in that bed that night. And my body had filled up with 13 pounds of fluid. And I raised my hands and said, Lord, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. You know what made me feel good? Was that he could trust me to stand true and faithful when the hard time came. I did know that if the fluid kept building up, that I would drown in it. I knew that. But God, from that moment on, began a healing process in my body. Folks, we got to trust him, but he wants to be able to trust us when the hard and difficult times come. When you don't know whether you'll face tomorrow, when you don't know how you're going to face tomorrow. I've been there a few times, and so I know what I'm talking about. And you have too, no doubt. Can he trust you? Is your heart fixed? Have you a purpose to see it through? I'm going to see this through, Lord. Why? Why would I do that? Because I want to go to heaven. There is no other option for me but to trust God. And I say that knowing that tomorrow I may be challenged by what I'm saying. But by the grace of God, that's what I'm going to do. It's fixed. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, I went out there to California. I didn't feel like going to California. I went down to Florida in 6 weeks I was in 4 meetings and held 3 of them personally. I didn't feel like doing all those things. Folks, it's not feelings. When your feelings are challenged, oh, it's so easy to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sit here and rest. I told those folks in California, I said, I got a recliner at home. I sure would love to be in it. But folks, souls are perishing. People are giving up their faith. They're giving up their trust in God. People are being moved today instead of being steadfast and unmovable. Somebody's got to cry aloud. Somebody's got to put out the gospel in behalf of souls. As long as the Lord leaves you here, saints, I ask you to be faithful. I ask you to be true. I was thinking when my dear sister Betty stood up and sang that song to us a while ago, I started to say, saints, you listen to that real good. You listen to her real good. Because someday she won't be here to sing it for us. She's way up in years, isn't she? She's blessing us today, folks. Not only by her songs, but by her faithfulness of being in service, coming when she doesn't feel good, blind and not able to see all that much. By the faithfulness of her life and her testimony that she has, that's blessed me many times. Saints, can God trust us? Well, I don't feel like doing that. I just don't feel. I told the Lord, Lord, California, I don't like to go to California. The Lord said, that doesn't have anything to do with what I've called you to do, whether you like it or not. There's a work there. There's people that are getting more confused all the time. But yet there's some saints there that want to hold on. They want to be challenged by the gospel. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that they're loved. They need to know those things. They need to know that somebody cares. Every one of you like to be loved. Every one of you like to know that someone loves you and cares about you. Every one of us do, folks. It's all about a blood-soaked Savior, isn't it? Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, I was praying before I went out there. I said, Lord, I really am tired. Just did 3 meetings. And the Lord reminded me in prayer. He said, you told me because I gave you life, you would do for me anything I wanted you to do. I said, yes, Lord, I told you that. Go to California and be a blessing to my people. Saints, we may not all be pulpit ministers, but I guarantee you, you can be a blessing to me. We can be a blessing to one another. We all have our ways. My personality is not the same as yours. We all have different personalities. Our character is all different. God knows all of that. But He's brought us together and melded our hearts together in love, hasn't He? And given us the same Spirit. And we have the blood of God running through our spiritual veins this morning. God's done that for us, folks. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. It's going to be worth it. The song says heaven will surely be worth it all. It'll be worth it, folks. That's what we're running for, isn't it? For that heavenly prize. I want to gain that heavenly prize. I want to be with Him forever. But I'm going to have to be faithful here to do it. I'm going to have to be faithful. You know, Mary, she had a sword pierce her heart. We've had them too. There's been other folks in the Bible that had that sword. Poor old Job. We love to turn to Job, don't we? And yet there isn't any of us here that's had to sacrifice what he sacrificed. Not a one of us. give up all of his children in one day. Lost them all. Forgive me. Had everything that was valuable to him taken away. But through it all, even when his wife told him to curse God and die, through it all, he didn't give up his integrity. He didn't accuse God falsely. People are accusing God today of things that isn't God's fault. It's sin's fault. It's bad decision faults. Bad choices that people make in their lives. That's whose fault it is. It's not God's fault. God made man upright, didn't he? Made him in his own image. And he wanted to come down and enjoy the communication in the cool of the evening. He still wants to enjoy that, folks. Do you have communion with the Lord? Do you visit him? Do you give him the time? Does he come and visit you? He will, you know. He wants to come down and bless us. Poor old Job seems like he lost it all, but the devil didn't take his wife. Left her there to say, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, I'm not saying that because it was a woman, but I mean he left someone there to continue to try Job, didn't he? He left someone there through it all. When he didn't understand, folks, Mary didn't always... We can stand here and read this morning about the sword that pierced her heart, but she was experiencing it for the first time. She didn't have it written down here before her. It was new to her, and the pain was sharp, and the sword cut deep. But God was able to trust her. Job and his friends come. They accused him. You've done something wrong. You've committed some kind of a sin. Job didn't know what it was all about, but he was determined that he hadn't sinned against God. And God testified of his integrity and his uprightness. Can he testify for us? Can he testify for us? God was able to trust Job, folks, through it all. He brought him down to the place where Job said, he maketh my heart soft. I tell you, the Lord's worked on me that way, and I understand what God was doing, what God did with Job. Saints, he wants to make your heart soft. Do you ever pray for conviction for souls? I pray for conviction for the church. We need to have conviction on our own hearts, folks. We need to be so careful of the choices that we make. Things that would draw us to the world instead of draw us to God. I'm still talking about being fixed and steadfast and unmovable. Folks, we need the Lord. And we need Him desperately. Lord, help us to draw close to Him. I think about Joseph, and there's so many that we can mention. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery and his brothers hated him and then put in prison, falsely accused and all those kind of things, kind of reminds you of someone else we know, doesn't it? Our loving Savior. But could God trust Joseph? He was faithful, wasn't he? He was faithful through it all. And he saw it to the end, and the Lord showed him, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I can promise you this morning that whatever's happening in your life right now, God means it for your good. As I said, wise men, in the face of adversity, still seek God. They still want God. And may God help us to be wise men and to be faithful. I want us to read a scripture about our loving Savior over in, see if I can find it. I don't guess I have it here. Over in Philippians, I believe it is. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Oh, the man I know, he has a reputation all right. He's the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he said he made himself of no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Death is something we don't talk about a lot. Something that, you ever heard of the phrase, the elephant in the room? You get together with people and there's problems and nobody wants to talk about it. We don't talk about death, but folks, death is so vital. Death is a very vital part of life, isn't it? Without us getting out of this old flesh, we'll never see Jesus face to face. We'll never be able to enjoy the new body, the new life, to be with him forever in heaven. Paul keeps telling us in his word to die. He said, I die daily. He tells us to die to self, to die to the world. That's what it's going to take. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His heart was fixed. Jesus came to this world for a purpose. You and I are that purpose. You and I are that purpose. Left all of his splendor and all of his glory, and came here knowing what he was going to face. Oh, possibly when he worked with his father in the carpenter shop and he looked at some of that lumber and wood that they made things with, he might have even thought about the day that his back would rub against one of those and he would hang on a cross for mankind. A sword pierced through his mother's heart. But he, the Son of God, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Lord, help us today. Folks, there's some things about me that I want crucified. There's things about me that I want dead, that I'm still working on, the Lord's still working on. And I understand that. And he'll work on us until he calls us to glory. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about Larry. My personal makeup, my personal character, things that I want dead and crucified. Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Can we do that this morning? Can he trust us to be obedient? To be obedient servants. It's not, well, you know, I think it ought to be this way, and I think it ought to be. No, it's the way the Word of God teaches it is the way it is. We don't do anything to change that. We don't need to try to temper that in any way. It's the way the Word of God tells us to be. Look at this verse. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I don't read anything in the scriptures where he was shouting when he was up on the cross and he was happy and joyful, but it says he endured it. I think we all know, don't we, that as time goes on and we endeavor to live for the Lord, there's some things we're going to be enduring. We're going to have to endure them. We're not going to, feelings can't enter into that, folks. Emotions can't enter into that. That's why Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, that you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I hope as we walk through life and as we learn things, learn more about Jesus, learn more about His Word, learn more about His ways, I hope that we'll have a greater hungering and a thirsting and a desire to want to please Him, to endure the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. You know where Jesus is right now? He's in eternity with His Father, sitting on the right hand, making intercession for us. He did it all. He left His Father, His throne in glory in eternity, came to time, came to this earth, gave His life a sacrifice and shed His blood that you and I can be saved. And then He went to paradise. He told that man next to Him, that thief on the cross today, "Thou shalt be with Me in paradise." But folks, Jesus isn't in paradise today. He's in eternity, where every one of us will be someday. But you know, of all those that God could trust, He was able to trust His Son. And I'm glad that He was. And I'm glad that His Son was faithful to drink that bitter cup for you and I. He wearied. He despised the shame. You know what the scripture says? He that hangeth on a tree, let him be accursed. Or cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became a curse for you and I, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of these days, it tells us in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we read that verse. One of these days, it says that all the enemies will be put under His feet. He will reign supreme and glorious throughout eternity. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? You're going to cast your crown at His feet. And you're going to cry, "Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord, the one that came, the Redeemer, the one that came and gave His life, that was faithful, the one that could be trusted with such a great duty, with a great responsibility." What can the Lord trust us with today? Just what can He trust us with? I know what it's like to get tired and weary. I know what it's like to be busy and have a lot of other things on my mind. What can God trust us with? He wants us, folks, to be faithful. Faithful to go all the way with Him. Heart fixed. Heart established. Settled. Unmovable. What's it going to take to move you? You're going to let the enemy come along, challenge you with something and cause you to see it a different way, to go a different way? It's up to us individually, isn't it? We all make our choices. But if we get it settled in our hearts, folks, that there is no other option but to follow Christ. There is no other option but to believe His Word. There is no other option but to be filled with His Spirit. Oh, folks, I'm so grateful today for all that He has done for us. I'm so grateful that He not only tells us to be steadfast and unmovable, but He give us everything that we need that we would be able. Because we can't do it ourselves. You can't face the enemy yourself. You can't do it alone. We need something higher than us, greater than us, to be unmovable. The glory that was set before Him. Don't forget the glory that is set before you this morning. There's a great glory that's been set before us, folks, a promise and a hope of heaven through Jesus Christ that endured to the end and was faithful to our souls. I think I'm going to leave that there. May the Lord help us today to be faithful, to live in such a way that He can trust us. Reminds me a little bit of conversation I had at the hospice a couple of years ago. Someone was telling me that they had given their heart to the Lord a long time ago. How did they say that? They've accepted Him. That's how they said it. I accepted the Lord. So I asked them the question, has He accepted you? Paul said, we're accepted in the Beloved, folks. May we live in such a way that we don't do anything to grieve the Spirit of God. But as I look at our world today, and this very nation that was founded on the principles of His Word, I see where God has been grieved, and His Spirit is backing off. His Spirit's pulling away. Men's hearts are hard today. They rejected the Lord. How do you feel when you feel rejected? His Spirit's being withdrawn back, withdrawn today. It seems like that's hard to move upon people. Conviction is not what it used to be when I was growing up. It's not what it used to be, folks. It looks to me like, and this is me, but Jesus said it, it looks to me like things are winding down. When people keep turning and running away from God, what's God to do? Jesus said He didn't know the day or the hour, but God does. He knows when He's going to call this world to judgment. Lord, help every one of us to be faithful, to be ready, your heart fixed, steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen.